Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just paint it.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes it is. That's what we do here.
It is.
We share ghost stories. Welcome to the show, everybody. 855-853-4802. Our phone number to call in and share your real ghost story 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our show is year-round, if you're just joining us, because it's pretty damn close to Halloween. Welcome. This is a show where your stories are sent in via phone, via recorded message, where you can email those to Jenny at realghoststoriesonline.com, and written in on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get those stories to us. And if you dig the show and you want even more creepiness, well, that promo you just heard, that's about our EPP membership. That's where you get all of the bonus episodes, like 111 plus of those out now, plus exclusive video content and an archive of our episodes that have fallen off of iTunes because there's so many of them out there. So all in all, it's like 400 extra bonus episodes. It's your way to enjoy creepiness year-round. I normally don't go into that big of an explanation of what we have, but it's that time of year.
This is when we get all of our new listeners.
Yeah, lots of new listeners hop on around this time of year. So that's what this whole thing is all about. It's a show that goes on year-round. But like Halloween, we celebrate it all year with ghost stories every single week. So check that out at ghostpodcast.com and help keep this thing afloat. Been afloat now for about 3 years,
mm-hmm.
Correct?
It's been 3 years.
You just said to me the other day, it's like, hey, it's our ghost story anniversary. And I said, what, no cake?
Sorry, I did it the first year.
Maybe a granola bar with a candle in it or something?
Hey, you're lucky I even reminded you because you didn't know.
I did it. You know, those chewy granola bars work well for candles.
Yeah.
Remember chewy? Granola bars? Those are the ones that were really kind of soft. They weren't like the Nature Valley that are like rocks.
Mm-hmm.
The chewy were the, I think Quaker made them.
Okay.
And those are the like the chocolate chip ones that all the kids had when we were kids. But those actually, you could do a candle in because they were so just like gooey.
Okay.
I don't know why I thought of that, but now, you know, in case you're short of a cake and you need to put a candle in some sort of semi-baked good.
Put a candle in a granola bar.
No, only a chewy granola bar.
Okay.
Be careful. You're going to get somebody pissed off with the Nature's Valley, and it's not going to work out.
Okay.
Well. Some hate mail about that. So anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go over to our first call of the day and start listening to some ghost story fun. Hi, you are on the air.
Yeah. Susan, I'm calling because I have a ghost story that I thought you may be interested in. I used to live in Idaho, and Idaho has, you know, several ghost towns. One of them happens to be called Silver City, an old mining town that's over 100 years old. And people are still live there. The buildings still exist as the way they are. In fact, it's against the law. If you buy one of the buildings there, it's against the law for you to take it down and rebuild. You have to keep it the way it is. It's because they want to leave it the way it was. But people actually live here. Not too many, but they do. I was staying in a hotel there. I think it was called the Idaho Hotel. In fact, one of the rooms I was in was known to be haunted. Even though I didn't feel anything, in the hotel, in the room that I was staying at, had bullet holes in the walls that were over 100 years old. So it was kind of crazy. But I did have a ghost experience. My son, who was probably around 2 years old at the time, and my ex, we went looking around. This mining town is I think it's in the Owowee, or I can't pronounce it, mountains in Idaho. We went looking around. You know, we left the town and started looking around the mountain and everything to look at caves and all that, and other historical things, and we happened to come across one mining cave, and we went into the mining cave, and my ex started taking photographs, and I was holding our son at the time, but I had a really nervous feeling that I shouldn't be in the cave with my son, and so I did an about face and left. I just felt like there's danger here. I don't know, I didn't see anything. I just felt like something was dangerous in here, but he obviously didn't, because he continued to explore and take pictures and all that. But but once we did that and we went back to the hotel for the night, we looked at the pictures and we saw a face of a spirit. It looked like an old miner. What's interesting is the photos. The photos went from looking like a regular photo, and then it started to change colors. Every photo after, it went from a clear photo, then it started to get blue and bluer, and then next thing you know, then this miner's face shows up, clear as day, looking right at my ex. And the face looks extremely angry, like, get the, you know what, out of my mind right now. And it's so crystal clear, you can tell it is. And then after you see the face, then the pictures afterwards start slowly going back from blue to back to a normal looking, what a picture should look like. I have these photos. If you're interested in them, I can get them and send them to you, and you'll see the angry miner's face. Well, anyway, when we were sitting down at the hotel that evening and speaking to people who live there, and we explained to one guy what we saw and what we caught on film, and we showed it to him, he goes, "Do you know that that's the mine that you were in?" He goes, "I've been to that mine. I have pictures of ghosts from that mine. Do you know that the mine that you are in was not only haunted, but it's haunted because 33 miners happened to have died in that mine that you were in. It collapsed over 100 years ago, and it is haunted." And he had pictures to show us, to prove to us that it was truly haunted, and it wasn't our imagination. So I thought it was really interesting. It's a great place. It's worth the trip. But that's my story, and I hope you like it. Take care. Bye.
I think that would explain pretty much a haunting when the mine collapses and 33 people are killed.
Yeah, I think so. I think any place that has, you know, more than likely mostly sudden death and on a large scale,
mm-hmm,
is probably got a good chance of being haunted.
My question is, so it collapsed, did they like open this thing up a little bit more to let people go in? I guess I missed that part. Or is this just like kind of there and it's like, yeah, you probably shouldn't go in, but people still go into it?
Well, you know, usually those go in really far, so I can see if a deeper part.
Sure.
Collapsing.
Kind of the entrance is still.
Yeah, yeah. And the reason I say that is I've been to an old gold mine up in Colorado where it actually, they hit a spring underground,
mm-hmm.
and it flooded and killed a whole bunch of miners.
Mm.
And you can't go in it very far, but you can still go in, you know, good maybe 100 feet or so.
Sure.
So you go in, but you can't go all the way into where that happened.
You go in, but you can't come out.
But I didn't have anything weird happen when I went.
Well, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
That's good. You, are, or not you, but Harper, our little one, thought you saw a pirate today.
Oh, my gosh. That was one of those parent moments where you just cringe and you want to hide.
And I'm sure a lot of people are going through their mind right now. They're going, oh, my God, I know exactly what happened. Yep, that's exactly what happened. You were the one that was there. I just got the text, and the text was hilarious.
Sorry.
I'll share the text okay. quick, and then you can kind of go into a better explanation on what happened. Harper is 4, by the way, in case you're just joining us. This is not like, oh, it's our 22-year-old daughter who just is no. extremely disconnected. She's 4, and she's very animated, and she loves, in fact, she was watching Pirates, was it this morning or yesterday?
She was this
morning. The show, the yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean. Anyway, she said, the text I got earlier, Harper just pointed to a man with an eye patch and a cane and said, "Arr!" And you were where? Like some grocery store?
We were at the grocery store. We were at the local, you know, grocery store doing our big shopping for the week. And she's in one of those little, you know, those little buggies that have the car on the front. So she's mm-hmm. she's riding around driving her little plastic car.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I see this guy and he looks different because he looked like maybe, you know, he kind of grew his hair up, but he dyes it black.
Sure.
Because he should have been
look.
Gray.
Yeah,
anyway,
okay.
It was his luck, his look. Yeah. Anyway, had an eye patch and a cane.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, and then Harper, all of a sudden I hear her go, "Arg! Arg!" And I quickly take her to the other part of the store and I'm like, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I was just saying hi to him in Pirate." So
she thought she was really being nice
yeah.
and polite and that she was saying hi to him in pirate language.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Wow, that's so cute. I mean, and you know, if I were in his situation, I think, I mean, obviously that would probably be a bit difficult, but at the same point, I think I would kind of have some fun with it with kids.
And I don't know that he heard her.
Sure.
Otherwise, I would have apologized till I was blue in the
sure.
face before I wheeled her to the other part of the store.
Sure.
But he didn't seem to even notice, or if he did hear yeah. her, he didn't acknowledge it, so
sure.
I was like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
And then she told me. And, you know, she doesn't have a shy bone in her body.
She's not. She loves everyone and pretty much everything. And that's just, you know, I guess if you had to decide, you know, what type of kid do you want? Do you want the kid who's going to be extremely afraid of anyone who looks a little different mm-hmm. than what they're used to and, you know, shy up and hug a leg or run away or scream? Or I want to be your friend. That's neat. What do you have going on there? You look a little different. That's
yeah.
that's the type of person I want. Because hopefully that then continues into adulthood as well.
Sure.
And she'll be the person who is wanting to be inclusive and help anyone else out who may sometimes be excluded by others because of how they look or whatever, that because of people's fears.
And I think she was actually disappointed that he wasn't
sure.
a pirate. But, I mean, honestly, she's exposed to a lot of pirate stuff here. There's the big pirate mini golf. And
yeah.
then also the mascot for the Branson Schools is it's the pirate.
Sure.
So there's pirates all around. So she just thought she saw one.
It's pirates. She thinks they're just kind of part of the neighborhood.
And then she told me in the car that she felt bad. And I told her she didn't have to feel bad.
Pirates may not be part of the area, but or the neighborhood, but is it Barry Williams? Greg Brady is.
Yeah.
Which is always kind of a disturbing idea. You're not going to actually run into a pirate at the grocery store here, but there's a good chance you could run into Peter Brady
yeah.
over as you're picking out your Rice-A-Roni.
Is it Peter or Greg?
What did Barry play?
I think Greg. I think he
Greg
was the
Brady.
Oldest.
Greg...
Yeah,
Brady.
I'm pretty sure it's Greg.
Branson, yes. Barry Williams, yep, there you go.
Greg Brady Branson, is that what you Googled?
That's what comes up.
Oh, great.
That's what comes up.
That's nice.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. So two scary concepts of pirates or Greg Brady at the grocery store. Would you rather? Let's go another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Joni from Pennsylvania. I am calling. I don't have a nice, long, great ghost story for you. What I have is snippets. I seem to have a decent amount of them, but unfortunately, they don't have a lot leading up to them, nor do they have a lot going on afterwards. They're just snippets, and I want to be as honest and as accurate as I can, so I don't want to put in any fillers. I don't want to add to it or take from, but I will go ahead and start with what I have experienced. My first experience, and I'll tell you a few of them so I don't hog up the whole show, and then I can call you back if you want, or record and send back in another handful of episodes, snippets, if you will, at a time. But my first experience was, I was a senior in high school, and it actually didn't occur to me until last week that my sister and I had, get the bell ready, bunk beds at the time. They were not stacked on top of each other. My mother would never allow us to have our bunk beds stacked on top of each other. She liked them to be on each side of the room. So that's how they were, but they were indeed bunk beds. And I remember I had woke up one morning. It was the wee hours of the morning. And I want to say about 4 o'clock-ish, 3 to 4 o'clock-ish, but more like, I think it's 4. Because I looked over at our digital clock, and that was back in the 80s, and it had the, I'm sure they still have them, but it was the big digital clock with the big red block letter numbers on them. And I remember looking over and seeing the time, and then I looked down at my feet, and there stood what I can only describe as what has been described many times as what the Grim Reaper would look like, the big hooded cape. He was tall, but not overly tall. It wasn't like he was hunched over, you know, up against the ceiling or anything like that, but he looked a little bit on the tall side. He had a black cape. I did not see any hands. I didn't see a face, but I did see the sickle or the scythe or whatever they call it. And he started hacking at my feet. And as he was hacking at my feet, I kept drawing my feet up more and more and more up to my chest. And then I ran out of room. So then I not only had my feet pulled up, but I started to scooch my whole backside further and further up to the headboard until I ran out of room. And I really don't remember anything else other than that. I don't necessarily remember him disappearing, but I do know it was over. I don't remember seeing him disappear. I don't remember anything like that. But I did go to school the next day, and as it turned out, there was a boy who did not go to my school. He had actually worked at one of the convenience stores here in town where I lived, and he had gotten killed in the wee hours of the morning that very morning. So it was the same morning that I had the dream about the Grim Reaper. He was actually from one state over, and we lived close to the West Virginia line, and he would come over and work here in PA, and so nothing was really said in our paper about it, because he really wasn't a local boy. It was more West Virginia. But from what I understood, he had been speeding and or something, and he hit head on into a tree and was killed instantly. Excuse me. And it always bothered me, not only that he had passed away, but that the Grim Reaper showed up approximately the same time he was guessed to have passed away. That always bothered me. Let me also add that this boy really liked me. I had had a boyfriend, a steady boyfriend, in high school, and this boy that I'm talking about that got killed, he just always liked me, and he always told me that if my boyfriend didn't treat me right, to give him a call, and, you know, he'd always wait for me and that kind of thing. So I was just wondering maybe if his affection for me wasn't one of the reasons that somehow that happened, as far as the, you know, the figure at the foot of my bed. Like I said, it always bothered me simply because, you know, it was the Grim Reaper. I would have much rather it been something on the lighter side, or, you know, side of the light. And of course, it's not that I think that it damned him or that this entity took him, but it would have been nice to not see something so ominous. But anyway, that's just one of the stories that I have. I'll have to call back later. I have stories. My mother passed away, and we have some stories with that. And then I have some stories that really don't connect with anybody. It's more things that happen here in our house. We've never really had anything scary. And then also I've had encounters with my pets who have transitioned and passed on. So I'd be glad to go ahead and call that in another time if you think you would be interested in that. I'd be glad to send those in. And like I said, they really don't have a lot of story to them, but it's just little snippets here and there. Anyway, thank you so much for all you do. I appreciate it, and I look forward to your new episodes. I am an EPP member, and I actually got it for Valentine's Day. That's what my husband got me for Valentine's Day, so it's a great gift. I think that's going to be our steady staples as far as my Valentine's gift is concerned. So anyway, thank you both very much, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
She's going to go steady with her show for Valentine's Day.
I think that's nice.
I like that.
I do too.
Nothing like giving the gift of ghosts.
Well, and it's something you can enjoy. It's not going to wilt and you have to throw it out or eat and make you, you know, feel guilty about eating all the chocolate later. I mean, you can enjoy this guilt-free and it lasts forever.
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
It is, Clark.
It really is.
It really is. What do you think?
Well, I think my first question is that the only time that she saw this Grim Reaper type figure? Because I'm wondering if it was kind of a premonition thing about somebody she knew passing away, or mm-hmm. if this was just, for whatever reason, a one-time instance.
I know it's, you don't want to think that if it's showing up that it has some sort of ominous meaning to it, but I honestly have to say, what other meaning would it have?
Yeah.
You know, if something like that is showing up, you know, it's very, very troubling.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see why that would be very troubling to think of that after someone passes, that's what you get. You don't get, like, you know, the happy angel or something. It's like, oh, they're all good now. It's like, no, you get that.
Yeah.
Like, what is the meaning? Why is that there? I don't know.
I don't know either.
But very, very bizarre. It would be interesting to hear if like you were asking earlier, if any other thing has happened like that in that case. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us here at the show. Let's go over to Christine and hear your real ghost story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Christine. I'm from Los Angeles, California, and I'm going to tell you an experience that I had recently that convinced me that there is some sort of life after death. And so I never wanted to experience hauntings or anything paranormal, so I probably blocked it out of my mind my whole life, so that caused me probably to never experience anything because I wasn't open. And so every time I would hear people's experiences or, you know, their paranormal stories, I really wouldn't believe them. While I would listen, I would just say in the back of my mind that, oh, you know, it's probably some sort of logical explanation as to why that happened or this happened. But what I'm about to tell you has changed my mind, and the story takes place 3 months ago over the summer at my friend David's home. And keep in mind, I have to tell you guys in advance that David's home has been investigated on pretty much any and every paranormal TV show that's out there. If you can think of a name of a paranormal TV show, he's likely been on it. So there's been several notable mediums, parapsychologists, and so many paranormal professionals that have been there, and some have even mentioned that they will not ever step foot in David's house ever again because of fear. So basically, let me tell you what the theory is, why his house is haunted. He actually built his home, I think, in 1999, and later realizing that he built his home 150 feet away from where the Charles Manson murders took place. And if you're unfamiliar with that case, it's a pretty famous case, but Charles Manson sent his cult over to do a mass murder of actress Sharon Tate, her unborn child, and J. Sebring, who were brutally murdered. And so my husband and I were invited to David's birthday party 3 months ago. And, you know, I had been there a couple of times, and this is Chris's first time being there. So we showed up at the party, and we had mingled and made our way around to this nice couple named Tim and Shannon. And Tim, you know, he had known David for a lot longer, so he had a lot more experiences there. So he had decided to show Chris and I around David's home and show us all the hot spots. So we had made our way down to the bottom floor. Keep in mind, David's home is a three-story house that's built on the edge of a hill in Beverly Hills and overlooks this lush green canyon. So we had made our way down to the very bottom of the floor, and this is where the theater room is and the guest room is. And Chris and I immediately recognized this room and this area of the house because it turned out to be the most active spot in the house on every single paranormal TV show. So if you guys are familiar with EVPs, you know, let me just explain for the people that don't know what an EVP is. It's an electronic voice phenomena, and the theory is that spirits who are trying to communicate, that voice cannot be heard to the human ear, but the voice can be imprinted onto a recording device. So throughout this whole tour, I had decided to run my voice recorder app on my iPhone. And so as we're walking through the house and taking this tour, I'm recording this whole time. So once we reach the bottom of the floor, like I had mentioned, it's the guest bedroom / theater room, aka the most active area of the house. And so the four of us, Tim, Shannon, my husband Chris, and I, had decided to sit down on the bed in the guest room in complete darkness. But before we do this, we had seen this toy kitty piano in the theater room. I don't know, maybe they were using it to try to, you know, tell one of the spirits to kind of manipulate this device and show their presence. I don't know, but we had decided to take that toy piano into the bedroom with us. So we turn the toy piano on, and of course my recording device on my phone is still running, and so I leave both of those items on the center of the bed. The four of us are sitting on each corner of the bed, and during this time in complete pitch black, I'm asking questions. I'm asking whoever is there to please use the piano and like play us a song. And Chris starts to feel really cold on his left side, which is at the edge of the bed. So he tells us, man, I feel really, really cold on my left arm. And then we're all saying, you know, our O'Reillys, that's crazy. And so he says, wait, it went away. And then Shannon had said on the opposite end of the bed that just as he was saying that, she started to feel cold across her forehead. Next thing you know, I, of all people, start feeling the same damn thing. And so I'm feeling cold on my left arm. My goosebumps are just popping out, but the weird thing is nothing's happening on my right side. And so I start to
wave my arm around into the air, kind of circling it around the air and trying to like feel this difference that the left side has to my right side. And there's just like this thickness and kind of electricity in the air. It's really hard to explain. Now I feel like I sound like everybody else when I tell a story, but this is truly what I felt. So I had decided to get up and see how far this weird air goes. And so as I got up and started feeling around, my goosebumps got just even more prominent. And I told Chris to feel my arm just so that he sees the difference between my left arm having goosebumps and my right arm not. And before I had a chance to tell him to feel my right, the piano starts going off as if someone was just fiddling with each key. And as I start to process what just happened with the piano and seeing that the light from this kiddie toy piano is lighting up, I plop right back down onto the bed and I screamed like I never screamed before. Chris backs up into me and practically smashes me, and I freak out and I leave the room. And then I go upstairs and get this medium who I had befriended earlier, who was very sweet. So I told her what happened and she came back downstairs with me. We both sat on the couch in the theater room, which, remember, it's just outside of the bedroom. So everybody who was there during the EVP session on the bed was still there except for me. I felt safer just sitting on the couch, but we were still able to hear what was going on inside that room. And so the medium and I are just sitting on the couch in complete darkness still. The whole room is lights out, and she is staring at a corner and asks me, do I see something towards that direction? Because there's a little bit of light shining through the glass door that's there. And I tell her, no, I don't see anything. And she says, okay, well, I see two eyes looking at us right now. And I'm freaking out on the inside. And so basically, long story short, I tell Chris that I'm ready to leave. And so we end up driving back home. Remember that I had kept my recording device on this entire time, okay? This is where the good part starts. So we get home. I'm freaking out. I'm just thinking, did something attach itself to me? Like, how does this work? I have no idea. Can they follow you? So I don't even want to go into the room where my daughter was sleeping. So I'm sitting out in the living room of our home and sitting on one end of the couch, and Chris is on the opposite end of the couch. He grabs my phone because he wants to listen back to what I recorded so he can hear the piano go off again. So he plugs in headphones so he can really listen close to this EVP session. And in the same conversation, well, first of all, let me just say, he's sitting there in complete concentration, looking down at the floor while he's got his hands over his headphones. So he's listening and I'm staring at him, and suddenly I see him rip the headphones off of his head and he's got tears in his eyes. And I just immediately say, no, do not tell me anything because I'm freaking out, you know? And so he just puts the headphones down back slowly while he's staring at me all creepy and weird. And he listens back to it again and he says, no way. And he slowly takes the headphones off. And so I'm just getting so mad and so worried. I did not want to go there. I'm thinking to myself, like, I shouldn't have done that. And so I just decided to listen to what he was talking about. He says he doesn't want me to listen to it. And so I say, you know what? There's probably an explanation for this, so let me listen. So I put the headphones on, he plays it for me, and in the same conversation, the same time that we were all talking about the coldness that we were feeling on our arm, in between our voices, clear as day, as if somebody were an inch away from my phone, says, hello, why are you in my bedroom? Now, this was a voice of a man. David has surveillance cameras in every single room due to the activity. Once we sent this EVP over to him, he immediately looked back at the footage from when we were all sitting on the bed. You cannot see any of those two men that were in the room with us.
Chris, my husband, or Tim. Not one of them moved their mouths at that moment. And you can actually hear the same voice picked up on the audio of his surveillance camera. It's just crazy. I don't know how to explain that. It just kind of creeps me out that whoever was speaking left that on my phone. And what's weird is that you can hear the distance between all of our voices when we were talking during that EVP session. And you can hear that there is a good distance. You know, you can tell when someone's far away from a phone talking. And you can tell when someone's close. We were all the same distance away from the phone. But this voice that we heard of a man asking, "Hello, why are you in my bedroom?" was had to have been an inch away from my phone saying that. And I still have this on my phone. And if you guys are interested in hearing it, I will gladly send it to you. I don't know how to explain that. I am a complete skeptic. But that is one. Because I experienced it, you know. It's one thing when you see something on TV or you watch creepy, you know, videos or EVPs on YouTube. But it's another thing to know that you were there. And you didn't hear that live in person, and it captured on your phone. This was not edited in any way. It's still on the original, you know, list on my recording app on my iPhone, you know? I don't know how to explain that. It's so weird. And yeah, I don't know if I would ever try to mess with EVPs again, especially at his home. So that's pretty much it. My husband's gonna call in actually, because he's got a pretty crazy story himself, and I will call back soon and we will be EVPs quite shortly. My daughter, who's 12, and I listen to you guys every morning before school, and we just love your guys' show. Thank you so much for entertaining us every day. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
We're so much better than homework.
Yeah, of course.
Always.
Nobody wants to do homework.
If this existed, this is all I would listen to.
Really?
If I was 12, yes.
Oh. Well, I'm not surprised with the history of that home that she had an experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think she's exactly right. Sometimes it has to happen to you in first person before you buy it.
Sure. I think I'd be very shocked if I was him.
Yeah.
The buyer of the home. Just because, I mean, it's not the same home mm-hmm. anymore. It's you know, it's on the land, or close to the land, if you will, where those tragedies occurred. But I think you kind of go into that, you know, going, well, there's all sorts of, you know, bad stuff that's happened here and there, and you never know where you're built. And a lot of times you just kind of assume
mm-hmm.
that you're not going to get ghosts unless you're actually moving into the actual structure where things happen, and suddenly start to have these things happen. I think it would be very, very disheartening and disturbing, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, what do you do at that point? Do you turn it into a B&B and make light of the whole horrible situation, which has been done in other horrible cases?
I don't know. I know that, you know, with the growing popularity of paranormal, that there's probably somebody out there that would be interested in buying that home.
Sure. Yeah, you're probably right. There is. I'm just wondering if this one is just still a little bit too, I mean, I would think it is, but I guess, you know, the general population would be the ones to judge that.
Mm-hmm.
Too fresh in history to make it an attraction outside yeah. of, you know, ghost hunters going in.
Sure.
And checking it out. I mean, for example, like the Lizzie Borden house, I believe, is a B&B.
Mm-hmm.
So, would I be shocked if 60 years from now that place is one too? Not really. Honestly, it's pretty sick and messed up, but it stuff happens.
I know.
That's the disturbing part about it. What's really disturbing about it is there's something dark going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, knowingly subjecting people to it on the terms of amusement, I think there's something not quite right about that. It's nothing you can really prove or disprove, I guess, but I guess, enter at your own risk.
Well, and I don't think it's a good idea from the fact that a lot of people have been sensitive all their lives, but until they listened to our show, they didn't realize what it was.
Sure.
And now they kind of have this awareness, oh, maybe I'm more prone to things happening.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people would probably have no idea, go there, have a horrible experience or something, follow them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could literally ruin lives.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what scares me about it.
Oh. Thank you for the story.
Yeah.
On that note, let's go to Leanne and hear your real ghost story. 855-853-4802 is our number.
Hey, hi. Tony and Jenny. My name is Leanne. I'm camping at a lake in northern Alberta, Canada right now. And that's sort of what inspired me to record this story, because the story that I'm going to tell you happened while I was camping just a little ways south of here. Anyway, so it was late in the season, probably mid to late September a couple years ago. My boyfriend and I went camping with a friend of mine and her boyfriend at a place called Elk Island National Park. So we went there. It was both of our first time being there, so I didn't really know what to expect, but it was a really nice place, and we set up our camp, and we don't have any trailers. We camp in tents. It's real camping, as I would say. But anyway, so we have everything set up, and the first night goes, you know, pretty normal. Near our campsite was where the bathroom and the shower was, so you know, go there every once in a while. So I kind of got weird feelings in there. Like, I guess as a side note, I'm pretty sensitive, very empathic, and I can, I don't always see things, but I see things in my mind's eye quite often. So I'm in the bathroom, and I don't know, I'm in there by myself, and I feel just uneasy. I don't feel alone. I know I'm alone, but I don't feel alone. So something's going on. And I spend as little time in there as possible. You know, I'm in and out as fast as I can. The next day, Saturday, because it was a weekend camping trip, I went to the bathroom at night. It was dark, and my boyfriend and I went to the wood lot to get some more firewood. And on the way back, I figured I would just stop in at the bathroom, and, you know, at least that way he was waiting outside, I wouldn't be alone, and then I wouldn't have to make the trip later. So I go into the bathroom, and, you know, I go into the stall, and I sit down, and I kind of get this really intense feeling of, like, despair or sadness, confusion, and I hear kind of like whispering in the stall next to me. Like, I can't quite make out what they're saying. It's just kind of like so I can't understand it, but I kind of in my mind's eye get this image of a young woman. Now, she's probably, you know, late teens, early 20s. She's got sort of shoulder-length dark hair. Her bangs are sort of, they're not like full bangs, they're like part bangs. And she just looks super concerned, and I know she wants me to help her, and I feel awful about it, but I can't do it. Like, I haven't been comfortable enough with my abilities yet to be able to help spirits in need, which is something that I kind of feel guilty about, because I know that they know that I can interact, but I'm not doing anything, so I kind of feel bad about that. Once I'm hearing this whispering and I'm seeing this image in my mind, I start to get really, really scared. I panic, and I get out of there as fast as I can, and I rush out. And my boyfriend's kind of, I mean, confused as to why I'm running out of the bathroom. But thankfully, I mean, he's pretty understanding. I'm very open with him about everything I experience and the things that I interpret from the things I, you know, see in my mind's eye. And so I tell him, and he's, you know, kind of taken aback by it, like, whoa, that's pretty intense. Like, I, you know, he didn't really know what to say, which makes, I mean, it makes sense if you've never experienced anything paranormal yourself. But I tell him, and we make our way back to the campsite where my friend and her boyfriend are. And, you know, I'm trying to, like, I'm really shaken up, but I'm, you know, playing it off like I'm fine. Like, I don't want to let on because I don't really know what they would say. And I kind of have an idea about what they might think. And, you know, I don't really think they're believers in any sense. They're more skeptical for sure. So I just figured, you know, not say anything. That's fine. But, like, I can't help but shake this feeling of, like, you know, there's a spirit here and she wants to communicate with me. And I don't know if she's, you know, limited to, like, the area of that bathroom over there or what. So I'm worried that she's going to come around in the middle of the night or something silly like that. But I just, you know, I was on edge pretty much the rest of the night, and my boyfriend could tell, you know, we're pretty in sync with each other, and he knew something was still bothering me. So I see him on his phone next to me, while we're sitting around the campfire, and I don't really even need to look at his phone or ask him what he's doing. I have a feeling that he's looking up, if there's something about this place that might cause a spirit to be here. So I ask him anyway, just to confirm what I'm suspecting is going on, and he says, you know, I don't know if I should show you. And I kind of, you know, when he said that to me, it was like, oh great, you know, clearly there's something that he's worried that might freak me out. And he was right, it did fucking freak me out. So what he found when he was Googling was that in the area of Edmonton, Alberta, back in the, I think it was the 80s, late 80s, early 90s or something like that, there was a serial killer who targeted prostitutes or, like, women who were maybe hitchhiking, and he killed probably about a half dozen women. Anyway, there was one in particular that was found in Elk Island National Park. So he found a picture of the victim. I think it might have been a mugshot or maybe like a picture from her license. Maybe it was it looked like a, you know, just a straight up head and shoulders shot of this woman, and she looked just like I saw her. And just as I described my boyfriend, which is why he was pretty taken aback when he found the picture, because it was just as I said. So, I mean, if he had any doubts about my abilities before, I mean, they're definitely gone. And he said that to me then. It was, you know, he's like, I didn't doubt you before, but now I know for sure that there's, when you say there's something going on, there's something going on. So that was probably one of my most intense experiences, especially when it came to verification after the fact, you know, like that was the trippiest part about it. But that's pretty much the story. So you know, I feel free to put it on the show or whatever you see fit, but I figured I would send it in. I wrote in before, and I said I would tell you guys my camping story, so I finally did, and I've got a few more, so I'll probably send them in, you know, whenever the time feels right. All right, guys, take care. Bye.
I love it when the story has a definite closure to it, I guess, of knowing that who she saw in the picture after he looked into it.
Yeah.
You know, those to me are some of the best, just because there's, you know, there's that verification.
It kind of comes full circle.
It takes all the doubt out of it.
Yeah.
And that's what I like the most, I think, is the doubt that, did I see that? Did my mind make that up?
Mm-hmm.
Did I really hear that? That's all gone. And then you know for sure, no, this really did happen.
It verifies it, you know, not only to her, but then, of course, anyone that she's sharing it to.
Mm-hmm.
Of, hey, no, this is, there's something to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good story.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Thank you for sending that audio file in. If you're listening and you're wondering, well, how on earth are they having such clear phone connections? Well, they finally made phones. No, they didn't. It's just an audio file. That's another way you can submit stories to us. You just record it on your smartphone using the audio recorder on there and then email us the audio file. So another way to get stories to us, especially if you're overseas, it's a great way to send audio without having to deal with the long distance fees and all that other fun stuff. So there you go. You email it to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And there you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Next episode comes out, other than the EPP episode that's going to be coming out, Halloween.
Okay.
Halloween 2016, Real Ghost Stories from Real People 2016.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how many Halloweens I've been doing a ghost show for.
A lot.
Because that's really where this all started. And I there hasn't been 1 year where I haven't done a Halloween show. Even previous to doing this show,
mm-hmm.
Halloween, I still did essentially the Halloween show.
Yeah.
So been like, I'm trying to think of what year I would have started on the air. So started in radio in 96, but my first daily show was probably like 98.
Okay.
So what is that?
So 18 years.
18 years mm-hmm. of, there you go. I wish I had the audio from some of those really, really old ones, but I do not.
Yeah.
I guess I don't believe I do. I have reels, reel to reels in boxes. I should, if I can find a reel to reel player, maybe I can find something. It'll be interesting. All right. That wraps up the episode. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up ghostpodcast.com is where you get all those bonus episodes. The best stories we get in, they go there. So check that out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.